is CBS 880 News. When you need to know why, when it matters most. This is WCBS 880 News. Portions of this broadcast have been recorded.
My friends, for instance, in Philadelphia, thought I was crazy. They thought this radio was a sort of a passing fancy.
Now, join us for a final look back at what this radio station has meant to New York City. WCBS, through the years.
This is Arthur Godfrey, come among you once again.
15 minutes with Bing Crosby.
The bell, and they enter the center of the ring. Sharky with his hands well up, Joe slouching in as usual. Sharky drives to the left, and they trade left.
A historic audio journey of an iconic radio station.
To Amelia Earhart, the first woman to make a solo flight of the Atlantic.
The scene for the groundbreaking ceremonies of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel.
Babe Ruth has hit another home run.
Here's Wayne Cabot and Paul Murnane.
Wow, what a great intro there. Paul, great to be back with you on the radio one more time.
And it's great to be on a radio station, Wayne, that traces its roots to 1924. WCBS nearly made it to 100 years. Can you believe it?
Shy by about, what, 3 weeks?
Something like that.
It was September of 24. A guy named Alfred Greeby, who built radios, and of course needed something to put on those radios, got the radio station going here. It was WAHG, then WABC, not the Cousin Brucey ABC, but the Atlantic Broadcasting Company, which is what Mr. Paley purchased, the cigar guy from Philadelphia.
We became WCBS after World War II. Mr. Paley here from 1977.
The first thing I had to do when I got over here was to organize the company and to change the program schedule altogether. We were getting no place with what we had, and start to build an organization, which, funnily enough, was not very easy to do. My friends, for instance, in Philadelphia, thought I was crazy. They thought this radio was a sort of a passing fancy. And when I got to New York, I had difficulty hiring people. I didn't sit down and say, this isn't my program for radio as to what I think it ought to become. But I got educated to its potentials and little by little started to evolve a philosophy and a plan. But even before I got into it as a business, I saw it as a bit of magic, as a medium that was able, I thought, at some future time to communicate with all the people in the country and all the people in the world. And what a fantastic thing this was.
William S. Paley from 1977. Let's rewind to, are you ready for this? We actually have audio. Thanks to Dave Plotkin, our whiz here at the radio station, from 1929. Here he is, wishing his staff a Merry Christmas.
My best wishes are with you for the coming year. And in the spirit of cheer, let me add that I will endeavor to continue it at any time. The address is 480 Park Avenue, telephone number volunteer 1413. Goodbye, and may happiness be yours.
We'll be right back. More after this, WCBS Through the Years.
WCBS Through the Years continues.
Welcome back to WCBS Through the Years. I'm Wayne Cabot.
And I'm Paul Murnane. 1929, WABC, the predecessor to WCBS and the CBS radio network and all of what was CBS at the time, move into 485 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Let's go back to May 4th, 1929. Here's Ted Husing and Zelma O'Neill on the radio.
This is station WABC, New York City, of the Columbia Broadcasting System, Ted Husing announcing. It is now 11 minutes past 12 o'clock a.m., daylight saving time, May 4th. At this hour, using the facilities of this station, the Brunswick Bulky Colander Company is making the most sensational radio test ever conceived to demonstrate the superior quality of reception and tone of the new Brunswick radio receiver. As these words are spoken and sent over the air, they are being received at the recording laboratory of the Brunswick Bulky Colander Company, New York City, and an actual Brunswick electrical record is being made of this announcement and the program that follows as they are picked up by and come through the new Brunswick radio receiver. No other radio receiver has ever been subjected to a test so drastic. For never before has it been thought possible by competent musical and engineering authorities to make a record of a broadcast through a radio receiver that would, when played, reproduce the program sent over the air exactly in every detail as it was broadcast. And what follows furnishes the most authentic proof possible of this statement.
Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of yourself, you belong to me. Eat an apple every day, get to bed by 3. Take good care of yourself, you belong to me. Be careful crossing streets, ooh, ooh, don't eat meat, ooh, ooh, cut out sweets, ooh, ooh, you'll get a pain and ruin your tum-tum. Keep away from bootleg hooch when you're on a spree. Take good care of yourself, you belong to me.
We are doing WCBS through the years, and you're telling me, Paul, that there were stars before us?
It's hard to imagine, but there were stars. As radio became an institution in the home, you could sit down and listen to one of those cathedral radios, and you would be taken to the party. You'd be taken to the glamorous ballroom, and you could hear the big stars of CBS, our first big stars, Kate Smith and Bing Crosby.
This was 1931. Wow.
15 minutes with Bing Crosby.
To sing my next song for the Jolly Gang. That's what they call themselves, and they're on the fifth floor of the Herman Kiefer Sanitarium in Detroit, Michigan. Sorry I couldn't get my buddy ready for you fellas, but I'll try to serenade you with Please Don't Talk About Me When I'm Gone. Please don't talk about me when I'm gone. Oh, honey, though our friendship ceases from now on. And listen, if you can't say anything real nice, then don't you talk at all is my advice. We're parting, you go your way and I'll go mine. It's best that we do. Here's a kiss, I hope this kiss brings lots of...
Fantastic audio here from way back, and it sounds so pristine. This is WCBS Through the Years.
More coming up. WCBS Through the Years.
WCBS 880 will cease operations on Monday. It has been an honor to deliver your news, weather, and traffic, and to be a part of your lives for nearly 6 decades. Beginning Monday, we invite you to turn to 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM. You give us 22 minutes. We'll give you the world.
WCBS Through the Years continues. Here's Wayne Cabot and Paul Murnane.
Music was a part of the early scene in the 1930s at what was WABC. Here's John Hammond, who went on to a great career at Columbia Records, talking about the importance of the big band sound on what was then the new medium of radio.
All radio stations in those days had house bands, unlike what we have today, you know, where there is no live music. There were remotes, you know, from practically all the nightclubs in New York.
As you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's the theme melody that brings us a program of distinctive dance music played for you by Joe Hames and his orchestra. Joe Hames broadcasting from the grill room of the Hotel McAlpin in the Herald Square district of New York City. The program opens with a tune titled, In My Country, That Means Love.
Well, as long as we have our tuxedos on, why don't we go from the Hotel McAlpin over to Rye Playland was around back then. Can you believe that? This is 1938.
WABC, New York. For your dancing pleasure, Columbia brings you the music of Mal Hallett and his orchestra, coming to you from the casino at Playland, Rye Beach, New York.
it rains, who cares? Your life, the sunshine to me, it's heaven to be with you.
Lawrence Lohman was an early executive, the vice president of personnel. He had to deal with the formation of a musicians' union in those days, and he also here speaks about the hiring of black musicians for part of the CBS sound.
One of the first trial and error periods for broadcasting in general was pressures from labor unions and how to handle them, and in particular from the musicians' union, who were very strongly led by Petrillo. At one point, in negotiations in the 30s, I went to see him. And he met me at the train. We talked on many occasions. In an armored car, it was during the rough 30s. And a car rode ahead with the armed men. He was somewhat fearful, I presume, of his own situation. Certainly no concern of his as to mine. And I found out after he just had done it as kind of a gag. He thought it would be maybe impressive, but more than that, that it would have influence for the negotiations that were to come. Teddy Wilson is the first to be hired, in my recollection, on any basis of our thinking in terms of doing something about blacks. And we were aware of the problem and wondering about how to best go about it, but not terribly intelligent. It was John Hammond who first called me and said, "You know that you don't have one black man in your orchestra." And I said, "What do you suggest?" He said, "Well, I get just a few, certainly start with one very good one. I think I could get Teddy Wilson."
And now the trio, with Teddy Wilson at the piano, Gene Krupa at the drums, we'll all get together and play a little popular ditty called "There's a Lull in My Life." Take it, Teddy.
Years to cover, WCBS Through the Years returns right after this.
New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut's home for news, traffic, weather, and the Mets. This is WCBS 880 News. Portions of this broadcast have been recorded. WCBS Through the Years continues.
Welcome back to WCBS Through the Years. I'm Wayne Cabot.
And I'm Paul Murnane.
I think you could trace our news origins on WCBS to 1932. So many years ago. What's important about 1932 is that was the first night, really, that radio scooped the newspapers to announce the FDR election victory. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Radio got it first, and that was something brand new. And here Bob Trout of CBS calls the 1932 election.
This is Robert Trout at our election headquarters in the newsroom in New York. The results of the 1932 election now appear to be certain. The ticket of Roosevelt and Garner has won a clear-cut majority over the Republican ticket of...
And that led to a press war between the radio networks and the newspapers. And the wire services were cut off for nearly 2 years to this place. William Dunn was a writer and an editor at WCBS in the 1930s.
Back in the early 30s, the press association refused to sell news to us. They just wouldn't let us in on the thing. So White, Abe Schechter, and several others like that got together and organized their own news service. And CBS had a pretty fair little news service going with correspondents in Washington, Chicago, several of the key places. It was effective enough that the press associations got worried. So they agreed to set up an outfit called Press Radio News, which all the press associations contributed to, and they furnished the networks with a certain amount of canned news every day.
General Mills, you know, the cereal company, was the big sponsor of the Columbia News Service by then. It was 1933, and that really thrust CBS into becoming the leader in radio news, hiring hundreds of reporters all throughout the country.
We believe what you're going to hear next has not been heard since it was on the radio in 1932. Amelia Earhart speaking at the Advertising Federation of America luncheon, June 20th, 1932, on what was then WABC.
Here she is talking about her transatlantic flight.
I thank you so much for your welcome. It's a great pleasure for me to be here. It seems much longer than a month since I left. As a matter of fact, this is the anniversary of the day that I hopped off from Harbor Grace. I don't know exactly what you'd like to hear about. Flying the Atlantic is not the most difficult of things. There are many things which are harder to do. After all, one just sits as long as... as everything is all right, and of course, flying over the Atlantic in similar conditions might be the same as flying over any kind of land. Of course, it was easier for me to try at this time, inasmuch as I had a chance to see something of the Atlantic on another flight. I knew, for instance, that good weather could not be expected over the entire 2,000 miles. What one is prepared for presents less difficulty, of course, than going into something unknown. I think about 60% of any expedition is the preparation. I was helped, of course, in this by Bennett Balkan, and he did more than I can express to make it a success. Somehow the cows always get mixed up in my flying. More things have happened to me in cows, I think. This time it was reported that I'd killed a cow on landing. I didn't kill a cow on landing, unless one died of fright.
More coming up, WCBS Through the Years.
WCBS 880 News. WCBS Through the Years continues. Here's Wayne Cabot and Paul Murnane.
We all saw the movie, the Babe Ruth movie, where he makes that promise to the kid who was sick and says, I'm going to hit a home run for you, just gestures out to the outfield somewhere.
This is believed to be the earliest recording of the voice of Babe Ruth on the radio.
This is from 1933, shortly after that event.
Babe, you've had more publicity than the Prince of Wales. Do you like it?
Well, I'll tell you about that. I wouldn't be human if I didn't like small write-ups for my home runs. But I don't like the papers to say that I see sick and crippled kids to get my name in the headlines. That's all wrong. I'm strong for the kids. I know them, and they know me. Publicity can't make a fella smack the old apple or play good ball. If he does that, he'll get publicity anyway.
I saw a flock of autograph hunters around you the other day, like flies around a sugar bowl. You must get a lot of writing practice.
I sure do. I put the old hen cock on everything they push in front of me, except blank checks. Baseballs, books, gosh, everything. Someday I'll be signing socks.
I'm getting chills. Yeah. I'm getting chills.
From the Babe to boxing, this is a big moment here, Paul.
This is from August of 1936. Ted Husing on CBS calling the fight between Joe Louis and Jack Sharkey.
This is Ted Husing speaking to you from the ringside at Yankee Stadium, where the New York World Telegram and Associated Scripps Howard newspapers will bring you a blow-by-blow description of the 10-round heavyweight fight between Joe Louis and Jack Sharkey. And here's Soccer Cole for the first round. All right, Soccer.
In a second, we'll hear the bell. The boys are dancing in their corners. Their bell, and they enter the center of the ring. Sharkey with his hands well up. Joe slouching in as usual. Sharkey tries with the left, and they trade left. They circle in the center of the ring. They stand cautiously. There's no rushing in trading. Sharkey tries into short with the straight left. Joe hits Jack with a right crossover just just like Schmeling hit him, but not an effective punch. Joe comes in with a straight right and a left to Sharkey's head, the right over us. He lands a left to Sharkey's body and a right chop to the chin and a right and a left to the body.
Ted Husing, a sportscasting pioneer, one of the first, if not the first, to broadcast sports. And speaking of first, is it time now for the man to whom we salute, the man whose picture has been on our wall for all these years, except for the cigarette. We cut the cigarette off because it's not fashionable in modern times to have Edward R. Murrow puffing away on a cigarette.
He didn't always make a living in news. Here he is in France in 1937, covering, and I want to slow down as I say this, Django Reinhardt and the Quintet of the Hot Club of France.
This is Ed Morrow speaking. I'm saying, swing it, America.
Yeah, I wasn't going to stay fun and games for Ed Morrow for too long as war tensions were breaking out all throughout Europe. But before that happened, we have a great clip here we want to play for you from WCBS before you and I were doing mornings, Paul.
I think we were still WABC then, actually.
You still want to correct me? You still want to? Fine, Paul, have at it. WABC. But it's very confusing because people think about the music radio ABC.
Right.
It's not. It's what our call letters were.
For the Atlantic Broadcasting.
Until they did a reshuffle in the 1940s.
Lanny Ross here, sponsored by Franco-American Spaghetti. We're still reading credits. This is from December of 1939.
Franco-American Spaghetti presents Lanny Ross with his special guest, Jessica Dragonette.
Moon over Miami. Good morning, everyone. This is your friend, Lanny Ross. And if you'll just make yourself comfortable, I'd like to sing you a few songs.
Say, Lanny.
What is it, Gene?
Don't you think you owe the folks an explanation? You know, you usually begin by singing Moonlight and Roses.
Gene's right. I do owe you folks an explanation. The reason I sang Moon Over Miami is because that's just where we are, Miami, Florida, the place where summer goes to spend the winter. Gene and I came down here so that I can sing tonight at the premiere of Paramount's new full-length color cartoon, Gulliver's Travels, in which I sing the role of Prince David. Jessica Dragonette, who sings the role of Princess Glory, is down here for the premiere, too. And she's graciously accepted my invitation to be our guest today. So, all things considered, I want to say, it's a half, half, happy day. Toodle-oodle-oodle-oodle-oodle-ay. For you and me, for us and we, all the clouds have rolled away. It's a happy, 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 happy day. Toodle-oodle-oodle-oodle-oodle-ay. The sun shines bright and the world's all right. It's a half, half, happy day. It's a half, half, happy day.
We'll be right back. More after this, WCBS Through the Years.
WCBS Through the Years continues.
I'm Paul Murnane.
And I'm Wayne Cabot.
Here we are now in October of 1940, which you have to believe was about the moment people began swearing in the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, right?
It's when cars began taking over and we needed a way to get from Manhattan to Brooklyn, Brooklyn to Manhattan, underwater because the bridges were already getting clogged up.
FDR and Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? We speak to you now from downtown Brooklyn at Hamilton Avenue and Van Brunt Street along the East River. The scene for the groundbreaking ceremonies of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, the $80 million project which is to link the boroughs of Manhattan and Brooklyn. The preliminary ceremonies are now in progress, and in just a moment or so, we will take you to the speaker's platform. The principal speakers of the occasion will be the President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and the Mayor of the City of New York, Fiorella H. LaGuardia.
I take great pleasure in introducing to you our Mayor, Fiorella H. LaGuardia.
Mr. President, Governor, ladies and gentlemen, this is just another of the many, many occasions that New York City extends its thanks to President Roosevelt for making possible so many necessary public improvements. Now I have but one function to perform, and that is, Mr. President, today we break the ground for the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. It will take 4 years to complete. I now extend to you a formal official invitation to attend the opening in your capacity as President of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, present.
Governor Lehman, Mr. Mayor, I'm very happy to be back in my state, our state. I'm very happy to take part again in the breaking of ground and the commencing of another great project by which the people of this city can more easily go from one part of the city to the other.
Well, as we were chugging away in New York City, making our way through the new tunnel, we were watching the headlines and now hearing the headlines on the radio about what was happening on the European front.
Bob Trout and Edward R. Murrow.
This is London. Sitting opposite me is Mr. A.L. Easterman, chief foreign correspondent of the Daily Herald. Now, I think I ought to tell you that the Daily Herald is the official organ of the Labour Party, and in the past has therefore consistently opposed the policies of Mr. Chamberlain's administration. This is London calling Paris.
This is Paris, Ed. Ed Murrow, this is Thomas Grandin in Paris. Last night, the news went around Paris that Hitler's reply to the British government was lengthy. It was obvious that the German chancellor was still in an argumentative mood.
This is Bob Trout bringing you the news of Europe as it now stands at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. First, Adolf Hitler has issued a decree forming a ministerial council for the defense of the Reich. And the latest word from Berlin declares that the purpose of this council, which will be headed by Field Marshal Goering, is to provide uniform guidance of the administration of all German industry. This is the situation as it now stands. For further developments on the European situation, keep tuned to your Columbia station.
Everyone was glued to what was happening on our radio. H.V. Kaltenborn is a legendary name, CBS News correspondent, and he says everybody had a radio and everybody was listening to what was happening in Europe.
All over, wherever you went, you saw people carrying radios because they were listening to the crisis and didn't want to lose a minute of it. That for the first time, the entire country was aware of the fact that the actions of one of these dictators operating over there in Europe could plunge this country into a world war.
1941 was the year that what was WABC, soon to be WCBS after World War II, landed at the frequency we know today, 880 on the AM band.
And something major, as we all know, happened that year, 1941, and the most historic event perhaps to occur in this country in that century, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And I've never heard this clip before. I can't wait to hear it right now. I'm not sure anyone's heard this in a very long time. Here's CBS reporter Webley Edwards, who was in Honolulu as the bombs were dropping, and we picked up the feed from Honolulu that fateful day.
Everybody throughout the territory of Hawaii, turn on your radios loud so that your neighbors can hear it. Here is the announcement. A statement by Lieutenant General Walter C. Short, commanding general of the Hawaiian Department. Quote, Governor Poindexter has just proclaimed martial law. Prisoners, when captured, will be turned over to the nearest military patrol, police patrol, or police station. Information regarding suspicious persons will be telephoned to the provost marshal at Honolulu telephone number 2948. A complete blackout of the entire territory will go into effect at nightfall tonight. Anyone violating the blackout by showing a light will be summarily dealt with. All civilian traffic, except in cases of direct emergency, will cease at dark.
More coming up. WCBS through the years.
Your trusted source for news, traffic, weather, and every Mets game. This is WCBS and WCBS-FM HD2 New York. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. This is WCBS 880 News. Portions of this broadcast have been recorded. WCBS Through the Years continues. Here's Wayne Cabot and Paul Murnane.
1943, the Harlem Riots. August 1st, Cab Calloway and his orchestra playing over 880 at 12:30 in the morning as the riots were raging outside.
It didn't take long for us to switch gears on that. With the riots happening, WABC reporters were setting up for a news conference with the mayor at the time, Fiorello LaGuardia. He was about to take the air at 1 a.m. discussing the riots that were happening at that moment in Harlem.
I do not want this to develop into anything very serious. There may be some people who may like to see trouble, but we do not want trouble in our city. And certainly, the people of West Harlem know that they have no cause to complain and should cooperate with me at this time.
The death of FDR. Here's April 13th, 1945, WABC 880 AM.
The whole allied world this morning is paying homage to the memory of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, even as his successor, Harry S. Truman, takes up his duties as the nation's new president. To our naval forces at sea, to our army personnel, to the people of America, and to all the United Nations, Mr. Roosevelt's sudden death at Warm Springs, Georgia, has come as a profound shock. Something tragic and almost incredible.
Those tears were soon wiped away with cheers. First victory over the Nazis in Europe, VE Day. This is May 8th, 1945. Give a listen to our coverage.
Because Patton's Third Army was advancing in an attack through Austria and Czechoslovakia, he was the first to be notified.
Get word to all your units, he was told, and stop them in place. No sense in taking casualties now that it's over. And so it went on through the early morning. The news spread through this command. It was all over. By the time of our morning briefing, General Bradley was beaming, waiting to tell his correspondents the good news.
Now to the end of the war, September 2nd, 1945, VJ Day, WABC 880, in the middle of your hit parade.
I love to lie.
We interrupt this program. Japan has signed the documents of surrender. In Tokyo Bay, aboard the battleship Missouri, the Japanese foreign minister put his signature to the paper ending the Second World War. This is Bob Trout in New York, switching you first to the USS Ancon.
Attention, the peoples of the world. World War II is about to come to its official closing. We're on the Pacific Fleet flagship USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay for the signing of the surrender of Japan.
WCBS Through the Years returns right after this.
WCBS Through the Years continues.
Welcome back to WCBS Through the Years. I'm Wayne Caddick.
And I'm Paul Murnane.
The war was behind us. It was time for us to celebrate our freedom as the troops came home. Time for us to embrace this new medium, this growing medium of radio, and it was growing by leaps and bounds, and so were we. This was the year in 1946 when we became WCBS, but it was not easy to get those call letters.
There was already a station on the air, WCBS Springfield, Illinois, it turned out.
They had their call letters since 1927. What did that sound like?
Tonight, we are again privileged to open the door of opportunity to Chick and Chubby, a grand pair of clowns from Laughterland.
Thank you, Mr. Valley, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I hardly know what to say on an occasion of this kind. About the only way that I can express myself is in the words of our senators in this last session of Congress, who so aptly said, little that we may say or do here will long be remembered, we hope.
The American Broadcasting Company arrives this same year. CBS is thinking there will be confusion if we continue to call ourselves WABC. And so, WCBS was born at 8:80 a.m.
Hello? Yes, this is Arthur Godfrey. What's that? My friend, I agree with you absolutely. It's really confusing. WABC is WCBS, but WCBS is WABC. That's right, WABC was the first station to apply for a change in call letters that would identify it with its network. Absolutely, we were the first. I'll say, we're mighty proud of CBS. Well, you just stay tuned to our station for a few minutes, please, and we'll try to unscramble the whole thing for you. The Pet Milk Show has even given up their time to do it. Yeah, Pet Milk will be back in this spot next Saturday night as usual. But right now, we're going to make WABC, WCBS once and for all. Sort of a christening party.
Pardon me, Mr. Godfrey, but we're on the air.
Oh, yes, of course.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. With this special broadcast, we are about to introduce station WCBS, until now WABC. It will do business at the same stand, under the same management, but with a new name.
The growth of CBS and WCBS was stellar during the 1950s. What a big time that was, running a bunch of network shows and local shows. And soon to be I Love Lucy star and band leader Desi Arnaz was hosting a game show on this station in 1951 called Your Tropical Trip.
Yes, that young man who in such a short time has become a sensational star in nightclubs and theaters and on records, our Latin American ambassador of goodwill and great music of all the Americas, Desi Arnaz.
Muchas gracias, señoras y señoras, y bienvenidos a nuestro programa de la radio. Espero que les guste. Y quiero felicitarlo, los quiero felicitar a todos por el Christmas, los quiero felicitar a todos por el 4th of July, los quiero felicitar a todos por el Memorial Day, y los quiero felicitar a todos por hoy. Translation, Happy Easter.
He had some splaining to do. WCBS had another homegrown star. New Yorkers were waking up to him every morning since 1948. Here's Jack Sterling as the WCBS morning man in 1958.
Yes, sir. Believe it or not, this is the beginning of the end of the 3,121st Sterling Show. You know something? I don't like my choice of words at all. Good morning. Nice to have you join us, as always, particularly on this morning. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary, and we have moved across the street from where we usually talk to you. And we're in the studio building here on 52nd Street, and we're expecting a number of our clients, agency people, to come down and visit us in the last half hour of the show. The weatherman says partly cloudy, a chance of a brief shower today, and a high today will be in the upper 50s. Clear, cool tonight and tomorrow, with a low tonight about 40 near the coast and in the 30s inland. The high tomorrow in the 50s. I'm always scared of this one, but the outlook for the weekend is mostly fair. Well, to brighten up your morning, we have a little thing called the Airmail Special for you right now, and it's 17 minutes past 8 o'clock.
WCBS through the years.
WCBS through the years continues. Here's Wayne Cabot and Paul Murnane.
Life in the 50s was a big reprieve from those tough war years. Things seemed to be at peace, and so we thought as we headed into the 1960s.
New Year's Eve, 1962 on WCBS.
Happy New Year to you from WCBS and WCBS-FM, New York.
Now, Guy Lombardo and his Royal...
1963 was a time of severe racial tensions. There were big changes on the way. Malcolm X was a revolutionary leader in many regards, and we had him on WCBS on what was the longest-running news program in New York. Let's Find Out, an interview program, a precursor to what you might say to Face the Nation today, and hear Lou Adler and Joe Dembo, and a reporter for the New York Herald at the time, sat down to ask Malcolm X about his aims.
No one seems to please you very much, Mr. X. Martin Luther King or President Kennedy or Ralph Bunch or Roy Wilkins or just about anybody you can think of. I wonder, what is it you want? What are you after? What are you for?
I think you'll find that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has spelled out beautifully what he wants. He wants freedom, justice, and equality for the American so-called Negroes. And 100 years, 310 years of servitude here, physical slavery here, and 100 years since the Civil War is sufficient proof that the black man cannot get freedom, justice, and equality here in this white American society. So all Mr. Muhammad is saying is that it is time now for us to separate ourselves from the whites and try and go into a land of our own and solve our own problem. And this is the only intelligent solution.
WCBS was there through it all.
And then came November of 1963, Wayne.
The assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you a bulletin from WCBS Radio News. The story, as it is just being handed to me, is datelined Dallas, Texas. It says, according to the United Press, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade today in downtown Dallas.
By the mid-1960s, CBS was in BlackRock, the beloved name for our corporate headquarters and our radio home at 51 West 52nd Street.
What a beautiful building. You take one look at it, you know why it's called BlackRock right there. And that was where so much of CBS and the Tiffany Network grew.
By this time, you could hear hints of what would become WCBS News Radio 88. Up to the minute was an afternoon drive-time program that would really become the prototype of News Radio 88 in 1967.
And it was right about this time of the year, August 28th, as a matter of fact, of 1967, when we began WCBS News Radio.
Good morning. This is Steve Porter welcoming you to WCBS News Radio 88. Because of an accident yesterday, an aircraft knocking over our AM transmitter tower, WCBS FM will carry our new broadcasting concept until WCBS AM facilities are repaired. WCBS time is 5:30 in the morning, and weather is behind most of the news this morning, even though the worst of it has finally left the New York metropolitan area. Heavy rain and fog yesterday caused transportation tie-ups, caused flooding, and was indirectly responsible for the destruction of WCBS and WNBC Radio's AM broadcasting tower. A small plane groping through the fog yesterday afternoon slammed into the tower, knocking it down and killing at least two passengers. One report says there may have been three other persons aboard the Piper Cherokee, which slammed into the WCBS-NBC tower. The plane wound up in Long Island Sound after careening off the tower. Two bodies surfaced immediately, but police fear more may have been aboard. One of the two bodies recovered has been identified as Ronald Bombalo of Manhattan. Police say he may have been one of a party of four that spent the weekend at East Hampton. Presumably, the four plus the pilot could have been aboard the craft. According to a report from the company that owned the plane, the aircraft was originally taken without authorization from the LaGuardia Airport.
It pays to save at the Bowery, so start your savings account right away.
Save more and borrow less.
Save for your happiness. Save at the Bowery Savings Bank.
It's WCBS through the years.
New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut's home for news, traffic, weather, and the Mets. This is WCBS 880 News.
Portions of this broadcast have been recorded.
WCBS Through the Years continues.
Welcome back to WCBS Through the Years. I'm Wayne Kevin.
And I'm Paul Murnane. A way to tell a radio station's story, a way to tell the listener what they're listening to, is through the magic of jingles.
We know about earworms. They just stick with you. And here are some of the earworms over the years, the jingles, a little sample of how our WCBS jingle package changed from the 1950s right through today.
WCBS New York.
At your service. With news and news and information at your service. We're on your New York 880 station to brighten your hours at home or away. Enlighten your hours every night and day at your service.
WCBS New York.
Where it's at and where it's gonna be is
WCBS New York.
No matter where the news is made, we're here to tell it best.
WCBS New York.
WCBS New York. All news, more news, day and night, around the clock, it's your
You get it all when you set your dial to All News 88.
WCBS New York.
WCBS New York.
More than just the headlines, WCBS News 88.
News, traffic, and weather on air, online. We are News Radio, WCBS, New York.
All News Radio arrives at 8:80 a.m. in 1967. Here's Lou Adler in 1968, after LBJ said he would not seek another term in the White House.
But it's doubtful anyone was prepared for the political punch President Johnson was about to deliver last night. New York City Council President Frank O'Connor, one of the Johnson spear carriers in New York State, took the news grimly.
I think I share with all Americans all over the country a feeling of great surprise and shock and dismay. I think this man has been a great president. I think his posture with relation to his great desire for peace has never come across to the American people. And I think it's tragic that he has withdrawn his name from the political race.
Paul, you and I both were kids listening to WCBS in the 1970s. I can recall Art Athens coming on and talking about this predator. At the time, they called him the .44 caliber killer, who had been going from place to place, first in Queens, picking people off as they sat in their cars on date night.
WCBS, summer of 77.
I'm very pleased to announce that the people of the city of New York can rest easy this morning because of the fact that the police have captured a man whom they believe to be the Son of Sam.
July of 1977, the lights went out. WCBS 880 stayed on.
All I can tell you is there were severe electrical storms to the north just prior to the blackout here. It went out, lights totally went out about 15 minutes ago.
Heavy rainfall has started here in New York City, and fortunately for the people along 14th Street, the rain is a blessing in disguise. When I came here to the headquarters of Con Ed, there was a lot of shattered glass, a lot of police sirens, police lights, a lot of police activity along the block.
It is bedlam trying to drive in this city. You can't see nothing, obviously, other than what flashes before your headlights. The problem you have is that there are people everywhere.
I want to express first my total outrage that at this hour, the city of New York is still without power, and the prospects for restoration of full electrical service remain vague as far as Con Ed is concerned.
It was radio's night. That was across the river at Grandma's house in Kearney, over the swamps, looking from the corner of Schuyler Avenue, and seeing nothingness over New York City, except for the blinking beacon on the top of the then World Trade Center, and hearing it described on WCBS 880.
More coming up. WCBS Through the Years.
WCBS Through the Years continues. Here's Wayne Cabot and Paul Murnane.
WCBS News Radio 88 was such a success in the 1970s. People came to us for the events, and that continued into the 1980s. A decade that began with an unspeakable tragedy here in New York City.
And again, from personal experience, Paul, I put the radio on and heard Jim Donnelly and Lou Adler playing Beatles music. I thought I had the wrong station on until I realized what the news was.
Extensive resuscitative efforts were made, but in spite of transfusions and many procedures, he could not be resuscitated.
Police arrested 25-year-old Mark David Chapman, a former security guard and a resident of Honolulu, Hawaii, for the killing of John Lennon. Yesterday afternoon, Chapman apparently had Lennon autograph an album for him as Lennon headed out to a recording session. Lennon and his wife were returning from that session to eat, and Chapman was waiting for him.
As you walk in the archway area is kind of a vestibule, which has a doorway, a glass doorway. This individual, Mr. Chapman, came up behind him and called to him, Mr. Lennon, as he arrived at that doorway. And then in a combat stance, he emptied the Charter Arms 38 caliber gun that he had with him and shot John Lennon.
Mark David Chapman is in Bellevue Hospital now for psychiatric examination. Did you get any clue as to motive why he did it? He talked to you about Lennon, apparently.
No.
What did he say about John Lennon?
He likes him very much.
WCBS News Radio 88, on the job in the 1980s. Let's go to 1986 now.
and the Challenger disaster.
We're in space today as the shuttle Challenger exploded shortly after it lifted off this morning, apparently killing all aboard. Paramedics have parachuted into the Atlantic off the coast of Florida to try to retrieve any debris and any possible survivors of the explosion. NASA says there has been no indication that anything was wrong until a section of the rocket exploded. This is the first time a U.S. manned space mission has failed in 56 such attempts. And again, there has been an explosion aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger, and it appears all aboard have been killed. We'll bring you up to the minute with all of the information. This is WCBS New York. It's 12 o'clock.
And on WCBS, an event that would change New York and the world.
As we were looking back, we did see a second explosion of some type. So both of the towers of the World Trade Center are now affected. This second explosion has just happened. We're still looking at debris raining down and now from tower number two.
This is not a timeline of every event that happened. That would take us into the next decade.
Right.
So much news was underway, and we covered it all through these 57 years. This is not a timeline of every event that happened. That would take us into the next decade.
Right.
So much news was underway, and we covered it all through these 57 years.
One of the reasons for our success is the hard work. Wayne, you and I have talked about how we stand on a foundation that was built by so many people.
And we had the luxury of being able to learn from, listen to, and emulate these legends in broadcasting and try to carry the tradition of this radio station forward. And I think part of our success, Paul, is we never felt like we measured up. And that's not false humility. That was just a mechanism to make us work harder.
They all worked hard. Here are the names.
Good morning. This is Steve Porter welcoming you to WCBS News Radio 88.
Steve Flanders and WCBS News Radio 88 Mobile Unit Number 1.
This is Jack Cavanaugh and WCBS News Radio 88 Mobile Unit Number 2.
This is Dick Gilbert in Helicopter Number 1.
Neil Bush, Helicopter Number 2.
Stu Cutting reporting from Bridgeport.
This is John Anthony reporting to WCBS News Radio 88 from Roosevelt Field, Long Island.
Good morning, I'm Lou Adler.
And I'm Jim Donnelly.
Good morning, this is Gil Gross.
This is Art Athens at the news desk.
This is Steve Birnbaum.
On the Newsbeat, this is Walt Wheeler.
Spencer Ross here, sports news coming up.
At the anchor desk, this is Gary Moore.
I'm Jeffrey Lyons.
Weather forecast coming along, I'm Barry Grossman.
My report on business, I'm William S. Rukeyser.
Consumer information, I'm Elaine Rose.
At the anchor desk, this is Tom Franklin.
I'm Jane Tillman Irving with Perspective.
This is Barry Landers.
Updates on the top stories, I'm Bill Fenn.
John Whitebrick here, headlines coming up.
Wynne Elliott with Sports Central USA.
I'm Dr. Stephen Andrew Davis.
Headlines coming up, this is Bob Glenn.
Robert Vaughn, headlines coming up.
Medical news, I cover it. I'm Mel Granick.
Consumer information. I'm Joe Durso, Jr.
My assignment at News 88.
I'm Ed Ingalls.
Weather forecast coming along. I'm Craig Allen.
Harvey Hoffman.
Rita Sands. Headlines coming up.
At the anchor desk, Pat Parson.
And Ben Farnsworth.
How to manage your dollars. I'm Marshall Lowe.
News from Wall Street. I'm Ken Pruitt.
I'm Anthony Dias Blue.
Harvey Hoffman here.
This is Irene Cornell.
This is Rich Lang.
We could not possibly mention everybody who was on WCBS or behind the scenes over the years, but we can mention everyone who is here right now, and we'd like to give credit to those people.
Sean Adams.
Marla Diamond.
Sophia Hall.
Tom Kaminsky.
Wayne Cabot.
Paul Murnane.
Levon Putney.
Bridget Quinn.
Steve Scott.
Michael Wallace.
Jim Feldman.
Bill Tynan.
Maggie Leone.
Heather Ron.
Oliver Sampson.
Carla Marilis.
Rivka Oppenheim.
Angel Saborito.
Lisa Chernkovich.
Martin Untroy.
Lou Zambrana.
Laura Calla Rausch.
Tom Fenn.
Craig Allen.
Ashok Bala.
Anita Bonita.
Tanya Hansen.
Ray Hoffman.
Christy Kalishin.
Jake Angelo.
Alma Bove.
Anthony Bosco.
Izanya Gonzalez.
Jamila Jallo.
Michael Pardal.
Ashley Reed.
Eve Rosato.
Sabrina Solovitz.
Dan Berman.
John Wilson.
Chris Rausch.
It is amazing we have this sound going back to the 1920s. WCBS through the years, we would like to thank the people who have been smart enough and caring enough and passionate enough to save and preserve all of this audio. Phil Grice is one of those people. Don Swaim. And, of course, the guy standing behind you and me right now, Paul, who's orchestrating this.
Dave Plotkin. And the Wayne Cabot Archives.
There are some geeky things that I recorded as a kid on my Radio Shack realistic tape recorder.
And you've been playing them to me in Morning Drive now for 8 years.
I'll send them to your house so you can keep on listening.
What is there left to say for the final time?
This is WCBS New York.
The Columbia Broadcasting System.
More than just the headlines, WCBS News and Eight.
Well, that's it. There goes WCBS.
You know, I'm not a sentimental guy ordinarily, but I feel like I just lost a friend.
Cheer up, pal. Your friend just changed his name.
Yeah. Well, I hope he does as well by the new name as he did by the old.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, my friend. He'll be in there trying.
WCBS. WCBS. Yeah! Rolls off the tongue all right.
Yes, sir. WCBS. Sounds like good. I kind of like it. Doggone, you know, I'm going to have a crack at saying that thing right out loud on the air. Official-like. Like those high-priced announcers do. Ladies and gentlemen and all the little children, be you all advised that from here on, except when we forget sometimes, this is Columbia's tea station in New York, WCBS.
On Monday, WCBS 880 will no longer broadcast the news. WCBS has been the Tri-State's trusted source for decades. We will always be grateful to you, our listeners, and to the men and women who made the station one of the premier news operations in America. Household names then, like Ed Bradley, Pat Summerall, and Jim Donnelly. To the voices of today, like Wayne Cabot, Steve Scott, Bridget Quinn, and Tom Kaminsky. And of course, to the hundreds of people who work tirelessly behind the scenes to make WCBS 880 News such an important part of the daily lives of so many. An important message to our Mets fans. The every pitch of every game will still be heard right here on 880. For news, weather, and traffic, we invite you to tune to 92.3 FM, home of 1010 Winds. All news, all the time.